Hi, this is Lauren Lester, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 15. I'm your host as always, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me as always is Mike Booth Ninja Powers. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm very tired. New job is kind of starting to take its toll on me. I don't hate it like the other job I had before when I was doing the same type of work. Not quite there yet. We are in the process of switching to new software, which should make our lives so much easier. So
nice.
But yep, that's it. And I also returned the router that I had got last week, because it was doing it. I returned it because it was doing its job, but I didn't like that it was doing its job.
It was a different kind of job you needed.
Not really. I mean, mainly I found it to interfere with podcasting.
Really?
Yeah, because for some reason, the type of router that it is, I don't know, for anyone that might not have listened to last episode, I bought one of the fancy routers that is supposed to automatically prioritize your internet traffic. So if you are streaming like Netflix or something, it chokes off everything else in the house except for Netflix. Or if you have two streams going, it splits the stream evenly instead of one hogging it all. And it's supposed to prioritize outbound traffic too for gaming and stuff like that. So if you're playing a game and it'll, give all of your outbound traffic to your Xbox or your computer, which is really cool because in my household, we rely on the internet for everything. So I thought it would be something great for us. However, we ran into some issues last night recording off the cuff where Skype was just getting choked out, which doesn't, bode very well. Like I said, it was doing its job, but Skype was getting choked out, and it was a pain in the butt in order to record the show. I had to go into the router settings and turn off all of those features. And for anyone that's ever dealt with, router settings and stuff like that, all those menu interfaces are horrid.
Yeah, I hate messing with routers.
Yeah, so I took it back today. I returned it. I was debating on getting, because I have right now I have an AirPort Extreme from Apple, which I really like, and it supports all the devices in the house to the best of its ability. But I debated on switching for the newest AirPort Extreme, which also has the 802.11ac built into it. But I just opted to get my $200 back. So there was that I did. And then I bought, I was actually finally able to pull the trigger on it's an iOS Android app. It's called Automatic.
Okay.
It's for your car. And I was kind of bummed. It took me quite a while to pull the trigger on it because when I first found out about it, the device, there's two parts to it. There's an app that you can get for free off of the App Store that does nothing until you buy this $100 plug for your car that plugs into the OBD2 port on the car.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When I first found out about the product, they were still in the pre-sale phase of it, where they were kind of shipping them out as they had them, but they were just taking pre-orders for them. And it was like $60 for the device. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat for what it does for $60. Because what it does is it tracks your, some of the features, if you don't go anywhere, some of the features are kind of mundane. Like it when you park your car, it geotags where you parked your car. It monitors your gas usage and, it'll tell you each individual trip. Each time you start your car and turn your car off, it will tell you how much gas you spent, like on a trip. It tells you if you hit the brakes too hard or the accelerator too hard, or if you went over 70 miles an hour. It tells you all this stuff because the goal behind the app is to help you save gas.
Oh, okay.
It also can diagnose and clear engine lights, check engine lights.
Oh, that's really cool.
And one of the other neat features about it is it's in beta right now. I kind of imagine in order for this to work, they might have to make this like a subscription thing for it, but it's in beta right now. It's if you get in a crash, it collects all of your data and sends it to their servers. It's kind of like OnStar. Sends it to them, and then they call 911 on your behalf, and they tell like emergency vehicles where you are and stuff like that. And then they will also you also set up three primary contacts for them to call in case of an emergency. So that was kind of neat because my car doesn't have any of that stuff in it. So I was, but at the time when I found out about it, it was like a $60 device, and it was really cool. And then when I finally got the nerve to actually just order it, it jumped to $100 because it was no longer on presale. Like this, it was a special for, pre-ordering early. It was you got the device for $60. So then I kind of hemmed and hawed because I have trouble ordering expensive things online that I haven't been able to see in some fashion. Like I have no problem going to Best Buy and playing like with like a receiver or checking out a TV or something like that, and then like ordering it on Amazon, just something like that. But I don't like buying things online because I hate the hassle of the return. Like when I'm returning something, I like to go in and either get my money back immediately. I don't like having to wait for shipping times to get exchanges made.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all.
So when I was finally kind of hemming and hawing on it again, and then I found out that they had put them in Apple stores. So last Sunday, the wife and I drove down to an Apple store, and I picked up the device, hooked it up to my car. It actually works really well. I was kind of surprised and I was kind of skeptical from the get-go about it because my car is kind of funky when it comes to that OBD2 port. I've had the check engine light on in my car since like March, and I know exactly what the problem is. It's the catalytic converter. It's going bad. But when it came on, I didn't know that that's what it was. So I like took it to AutoZone and they hooked their little thing up to it, and they couldn't get a signal on it. And I was like, okay, well, it's probably because it's not like an actual tech, it's not a Tech 2 or anything like that. So I took it to the dealership and I asked them, I said, can you diagnose this check engine light? And they hooked up their little computer to it, and the car wouldn't talk to their Tech 2. And I was like, well, this is kind of dumb. Why won't it talk to their car? Or, why wouldn't my car actually talk to a Tech 2? And so we kind of putzed around. And my dad finally brought home a Tech 2 from work. He took one out from work. And what it turns out, my car apparently needs some sort of an adapter, like an interpreter between the Tech 2 and the actual OBD2 port. But what blows my mind is that the dealership didn't know this.
Yeah, they should be able to look it up if they're gonna diagnose your vehicle because they have different Tech 2 devices that they can hook
Yeah,
it up to.
exactly. And so my dad and I, we got the check in, we got the codes, and he took it to work and, found out it was the catalytic converter and stuff like that. And he called around, called over to the local dealership. And what really pissed me off about the whole thing is, my dad and I knew what the issue was, but and the dealership was going to offer to help fix it, but they needed to diagnose it themselves. So they charged me $100 so that they could tell me what I already told them the problem was. So needless, I didn't get the catalytic converter replaced from them. My dad and I will do that ourselves because they were being jerks about it. I have the actual part in the trunk of my car. But I just haven't put it on yet. Anyways, long story short, I was worried that because one of the things about this automatic device was that it was supposed to be able to diagnose and tell you what a check engine light means. And I was like, nothing has ever been able to do that without this, you know, interpreter between the tech, you know, between the devices. And I sent them an email because on their website it says it works with my car. And I sent them an email and I explained to them what was going on. They said, you know, they haven't had anyone say it doesn't work, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, long story short, it does. I plugged it in. It threw up. It gave me a push notification that there was a check engine light on my car, told me what the code was. Not only does it tell you what the code is, it tells you what the problem is. So it's not just a series of numbers. It tells you what it is. And then it gives you the option to even clear the check engine light. Which was great because it was getting to be winter and my car has a remote start on it. And when the check engine light is on, the remote start doesn't work. So I just cleared the code and I've been able to use the remote start all week long.
That's awesome.
So it's a neat little device. I mean, yeah, it's not for everyone. Some people might not see the point in it, but I'm also the guy that has like a pedometer on my wrist just so I can see how little or how much I walk in a given day, or I can see my sleep, or it's like kind of like what we talked about on episode 10. It's just like all these devices that can tell you about your activities. So it's kind of, it was kind of neat. Plus I like looking at maps, and one of the things, you know, it tells you where you parked and it tells you where you drove throughout the day. And, you know, you can click on something and it shows you where you drove. From like one destination to the next, it shows you exactly where you drove. And anytime, like if you accelerate too hard or hit the brakes too hard, like a little dot shows up on the map of where you did said thing.
Oh, wow.
Which is really neat. And on top of that, there's an overall score. Like it resets every week, but the best score you can get is 100. And so like anytime you do like a hard acceleration or slam on the brakes too hard, like your score gets lower and lower and lower. It's an average of your trips. For your weekly score. So it's kind of neat. You get to see different things about your car, and I just like looking at all that stuff. So that's, you know, everyone's probably tuned out already, but that's pretty much what I've spent my last week doing besides work.
Well, so good stuff.
What have you been up to?
I finished editing the edit that you started of the top 100 for the episode that's releasing a couple hours after this one comes out. Mostly just doing the numbers and the audio effects, and then removing some arguments and banner that was in between different numbers. Doing a little bit with the new website, kind of gauging interest in certain features, and then prepping for my son's birthday party, which is the 9th. So,
oh, cool.
Yes, it'd be 1 year old or 1 year old. And my wife's making a Mickey Mouse cake, which is going to be in the shape of the clubhouse, which is going to be a massive pain in the rear.
Do you have to move it anywhere, or is it just going to be at your house?
Oh, it's going to be at our house. Okay. I spent Monday, funny enough, because I had to add in the numbers, and I added in some music clips behind the numbers for this episode of the top 100, because after listening to the previous one, it sounded a little off. So I did that, and it actually sounds really good. But because I didn't want to try and make timestamps and go back and edit later, I played it on my computer while I was reorganizing my basement. There was this massive pile in the middle of the basement of just boxes and totes and random crap that we just didn't have anywhere to put. And I reorganized the entire basement with all the totes, stacking everything against both walls, going to the point I touched the ceiling all the way down on both sides of both walls of the basement. And actually have a decent enough space for people to sit down there now. So, it's quite nice.
Cool.
So yeah, I did that while I edited the episode while I was doing that. So every time I would hear a blank space in there, I had to run to my PC, jumping over boxes and everything. So it was quite a pain until I got things more organized.
Right. But
for the duration of listening to the episode and throwing in the edits, that's how long it took me to organize the basement. So I get to listen to it and I got to edit and do something else. So that was quite nice.
I will say, in mixing the audio on this last one, I don't think there were as many arguments because it was one continuous record.
Yeah, I think that helps. Plus the fact that, for those that don't know, this is a little podcasting background. We
behind the scenes.
Yeah, little behind the scenes parts. We put 10-second little intermissions in between each number so that it left a definitive space while editing that stood out, so that we could clean up the either end or the beginning in between adding the numbers in there. So, that definitely helped keep it down a lot more because there wasn't
time.
Yeah. To have random said arguments. That helped. And it continued on through the next episode, even though the audio was a little wonky at points, and a couple of them were, and I'll have to edit it out, but they're like, oh, there's this. Oh, somebody disappeared. Where'd he go? Well, so I gotta figure that out now.
I had my fair share of those on yesterday's off the cuff. So
if it weren't for the fact it's the top 100, I would probably leave it. But it's the top 100, so I have to take it out.
Right.
I have to make it sound as clean and to the point as possible.
We have to appear professional.
Yeah, considering it's being marketed to like 15 to 20 other sites. So.
All right. Well,
with that all out of the way,
we're really going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
We can. Briefly. I don't know. Have you seen the recent episode?
I have not seen Tuesday's episode. No. Oh,
I can't talk about it then. Because this one's actually, it digs a little bit more into some of the Asgardian stuff from the Avengers.
Okay.
There's an artifact there, which I don't know. Have you seen the preview?
No, I don't do commercials.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, there's an artifact that is causing havoc, and that's about as far as I'll go. But they also show you a little bit more about Simmons.
Okay.
Or not Simmons. Coulson. Well, they have something go on with Simmons, too. But Coulson... kind of reveals that he feels different, but it's not really in any... It's kind of weird how they do it. It's not... without saying anything, it's not what people think, but it somewhat could be.
Okay.
That's as vague as I can go with it, so... But it was a good episode.
Maybe we could talk about it next week.
Yes, we will. We got new iTunes reviews.
We did. I was actually looking at them today, hoping people may have submitted new ones since Saturday or Tuesday. Oh, geez, what day is it? Tuesday. Since Tuesday. But I didn't see any new ones today.
I didn't see any new ones either. I am double checking it, but. I think we have 3, maybe 4 now.
I think it's more than that.
I'm loading up my slow iTunes.
I got it right here.
I'm sure iTunes runs faster on a Mac, but...
Well, yes. But that's, an octa-core or quad-core with 16 gigs of RAM will make anything run fast.
That is true.
So, yeah.
Oh wow, 7 ratings and 4 actually written reviews, and it's all 5 stars. We thank you very much.
Yeah. So
And it's the general consensus that it's new, it's random, and that seems to be what people like, which we kind of like jumping around too, so that it's fun for us too, so.
Oh, yes. So,
So.
I was kind of thinking, I don't see it on here, but there was that whopper of an announcement today. All right, you've got it right here, just kind of buried down at the bottom.
I do.
Yeah, the Marvel Netflix.
Ah, yes. Yeah, well, the funny thing is I was putting together this script for the episode, and with things I already had bookmarked, and then other things just were popping through my Twitter feed, and I was like, oh, I have to incorporate this now. Oh, I have to incorporate this now, because it was actually just half of what we're going to talk about, and then there was tech stuff and other TV related. But yeah, I'll let you kind of delve into the Marvel realm.
Oh jeez. Okay. So Marvel Disney or Disney Marvel, I don't know the proper way to announce that. Announced that in collaboration with Netflix, they are going, and this is not loading for me. Just one second. That they are going to distribute live action TV series on Netflix, which I think is something we may have brought up on a past episode about what Marvel slash Disney could do with like Punisher and Daredevil now that they have the rights back for them.
Yeah, I think we did touch on that.
Man, nothing, zero web pages regarding the Marvel Disney thing or Netflix thing are loading right now. I think they're getting like nailed.
Oh, well, I'm on the one on Collider, which is in there.
Oh, this one loaded. Sorry. So it looks like it's, they're each Daredevil, Nick Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones are all going to get their own episodes. They're going to get 13 episodes each starting in 2015. And it'll culminate in probably another 13 episode series called The Defenders, which I don't really know all that much about.
I've never heard of any of these people other than Luke Cage and Daredevil.
Well, Iron Fist, and my understanding is that Luke Cage and Iron Fist, they kind of go hand in hand with Heroes for Hire, which is like heroes as mercenaries.
Oh, okay.
But all four of them exist in the same section of New York, which is Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
And if I'm wrong, I apologize because while I may know a little more than Steve, I don't know a lot about these characters. I think it'll be interesting, especially since it's Netflix. They might, they're not really beholden to any kind of ratings. As far as like not like viewership ratings, but like TV MA or TV, this they're not beholden to like FCC stuff or regulations.
Because it's online.
Now they could still, try to make it clean for because anyone could stumble across these on Netflix. But no, I'm excited to see what happens. And as far as I'm concerned, 2015 can't get here soon enough now, so I can always use more original stuff to watch on Netflix.
Yeah, I think as cable starts to falter and people get tired of commercials and get tired of the crap on demand from, say, Comcast, where you're stuck watching the commercials or you can't fast forward, and all these other regulations put through to TV and the cable companies, I think you're going to see a lot more shows go to things like Netflix.
Yeah, and it's nice that they actually got a full like series commit, like they have a 60 episode commitment. So it's you'll get concise storytelling and not meandering stuff like Agents of Shield is doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of filler going on in between there. It's like villain of the week.
Yeah, you'll get I these will play out more like a BBC series or like something, even something like FX. Like any one of these characters would be great on like FX or AMC. So I hope they get that kind of a treatment when they go to Netflix. Which I don't see why they couldn't get that.
Just depends on who they get behind it.
So I wonder who, you know, now it's going to be kind of interesting because it's like who's going to play these people? And I also think putting it on Netflix might make it easier for these people to show up on the silver screen versus like TV or something like that. They might be able to attract like slightly bigger names to play these roles. I'm not saying like maybe like A or B list actors, but I think they could attract some people. So
Yeah, considering the last Daredevil is now Batman.
yeah. So there was this. So Disney dropped this bomb today, and then they
Yeah, which
also
is mighty
dropped
huge.
the other bomb, which was the announcement, the release date for Star Wars Episode 7,
Yes.
which is December.
18th. 2015.
Oh, so far away, man.
Well, and the thing about it that's kind of a kicker, one, that's my wife's birthday.
Is she not a fan of Star Wars?
No, she is, but I'm not. She likes Star Wars, but she's not a fan of the original trilogy very much, like, 'cause she didn't really grow up on it. I mean, she saw it, but it looks dated to her, even though she's never seen the
Well, she looks
remastered.
dated to me. No, I'm kidding.
I dated her, so
I was gonna spin it that way, but I don't know. I decided not to.
But good play, good play. No, but I mean, she might be fine with it. We might go see it that day. I don't know. I know I'm gonna definitely want to see it regardless, but it's kind of weird because it's the first Star Wars film not to come out in May.
Yeah, which I saw a conversation going on between Movie Revolt Dan and some other people on Twitter that release date is, while they say it's set in stone right now, it also makes it really easy for them to push it back like 5 months if they have to,
Yeah,
which would put it back in May. So
they're not gonna pull the G.I. Joe thing. Oh, it's coming out in August, and then it comes out in February or
no.
March or
No,
whatever.
G.I. Joe was delayed a year.
Yeah, that was
Like,
ridiculous.
yes, that was, that was utter
But
nonsense.
what's funny about it is Star Trek, since Abrams took over, flip-flopped from December to or November December timeline to May, and Star Wars has flipped from May to December, so they've almost swapped their original air date
But
years.
I think Star Wars is one of those things that it doesn't matter when you put it out, 'cause people are gonna go.
Yeah, that's the one thing I gotta say. People flock to that almost as much as they do for like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. Star Trek doesn't quite get that pull.
I think personally, people can feel free to disagree with me, but I have worked in the entire time I've worked at a theater, I've worked in a movie theater since 2004. Which means I was working at a movie theater when Star Wars Episode 3 came out. And that was the busiest I've ever seen a movie theater. Ever. And since then, I've worked at the theater here, in Grand Blanc, since 2006. And I've gone through three Pirates movies, all the Twilight movies,
Avatar.
Avatar, like nothing. Like Spider-Man 3. Nothing compared to the crowds for episode 3. Like I to this day, like when coworkers and stuff are just like, it's busy, I'm like, no, you don't, no, you have no idea. So there's something. Star Wars fans are in a league all their own. It's just crazy, man. I really hope that carries over to episode 7. And it feels like it might, because the buzz around it for the most part has been positive, mainly because J.J. Abrams has been attached to it and Lucas has been, at least to the public, has been hands off the project. So,
Yeah.
and I did watch a documentary on Netflix called Jedi Junkies. And it's about, the fans of Star Wars and why they're fans and how it affected their lives and stuff like that. It was actually kind of neat. So if anyone's interested in that kind of stuff, you should check that out on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's called Jedi Junkies, and the box art on Netflix is the Princess Leia bikini.
Nice.
So that should make it really easy to find.
I would assume so. Do we want to tackle some tech news before we jump into the conglomerate that's after that?
Sure.
Skype recording apps that will either will or will not work, continue to work after they upgrade. I know my one select MP3 call recorder will cease in December. I don't know if the one that TFG1 mic uses will.
Yeah, it looks like the one that we use for this and for Off the Cuff and for MWire Weekly should still work too. It doesn't... The way that I capture the audio for the master track for this doesn't touch Skype at all. It actually just uses my computer's components to capture it. So,
which is nice and convenient at the same time.
Yeah, it's also really nice when I go to grab on MWire Weekly, when we go into the main feature, I try to grab audio from like the TV spot for whatever movie we're talking about, because instead of playing like a 2 minute 30 second trailer that's may or may not have actual words in it, I grab the TV spot because it's like 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
But what I do is I just open up Wiretap and tell it to record the audio coming out of my Mac, and then I just play the trailer in YouTube. And it grabs the audio for me.
Nice.
Then I don't have to worry about, like, you know, downloading a video out of YouTube or something like that and ripping the audio out. I don't know. It's a really nice app. Just because of the way that it works. So some of the I'm gathering with the way things are recorded, with the way podcasts are recorded and edited for Geekcast Radio, there shouldn't be too many, not too many of the shows should be impacted by this change in Skype's terms of service or whatever it is, which I think they're really, Skype is like all over the place. I don't understand like the business model for Skype. I don't get it. I mean, it's
fine. It's Microsoft owned now, so.
Yeah, but it's so weird, like, it's on everything, but it's got like different policies for everything. I don't know. It's just weird.
They're kind of all over the place.
So, but whatever. That's kind of.
I'm also reading conflicting articles where people are saying that they may have extended the API for the call recording feature for another 2 years until they figure something out. So it's kind of, I think it's going to be hit or miss on who still functions.
Well, that's the one thing I when this first popped up, I was like, man, this is going to shoot around the internet, like, you know, like everything else does. But I didn't see anything in my Twitter feed about Skype. I think it just comes down to maybe the people that I listen to captured their audio a different way. Cause like the app that you use will be fine. The app that I use doesn't even like touch Skype at all. I feel like, you know, maybe people use apps like that where it's just they're not reliant on that recording API for like some other people are. So that's probably why I didn't really hear about it. But I would expect there to be some backlash from people who may or may not make some kind of a living off of that feature. So maybe that's why it's getting extended while they work on it, if that is true. But I kind of expected something like that to happen, because that's what happens in the tech industry. It's unless you're Apple, you are pretty much beholden to what your consumers want. If you're Apple, you tell your consumers what they want.
Exactly.
So, and I For the record, I say that as an Apple fanboy, so no one needs to jump down my throat for that. Yeah, that's just one thing I've learned in the decade that I've been using Apple computers is you don't tell Apple what you want, they tell you what you want, which I am completely fine with. So, what's next?
This is one that I found disturbing. Internet Explorer.
Why are we talking about Internet Explorer?
Because they have a new mascot for Internet Explorer 11. It says it goes anime with a magical girl transformation.
Oh, no.
I'm like, why?
First of all, who uses Internet Explorer? And who can tolerate using Internet Explorer?
Well,
I can't.
This is the problem. Internet Explorer, unfortunately, is one of those websites that just about every corporate entity requires people to use, but they don't program their sites for anything else to function properly. But the problem with that is that they program it for the wrong damn version of Internet Explorer instead of the up-to-date one with all the recent programming languages. They have it where you have to constantly use compatibility mode to function on their sites. Point being, multiple dealership websites, meaning the stuff that they store all the information in, the databases and the customer base and the what they use to log in for the how they order and deliver cars and all that stuff. They use Internet Explorer 9 is what they have it programmed for. Like, so if you use anything else, it functions, but there's problems. And then if you use Internet Explorer 10, there's, again, problems. But you can't access the rest of the net unless you have Internet Explorer 10. So it's, yeah, I wish sites would kind of expand their horizons.
I didn't think Internet Explorer was, like, the target anymore. I thought it was, like, Firefox and Chrome.
I think they still have to target between those three. I know some still do, like, Safari, too, even though I don't think there's much going on with that either. I mean, it's...
Well, technically, from my understanding of web browsers, Safari and Chrome are very closely related. They're both WebKit-based. They're just down different paths. So if you develop for one, you've technically probably developed for the other. You've made something that can work in the other one. I use Chrome. If I'm on a Windows machine, I use Chrome. If I'm on my Mac, I use Safari for everything. I've never really had a problem with the website, but ever since the idea of a different browser came out, I have not used Internet Explorer for anything. And I'm one of the first things I do when I install Windows on like boot camp or something like that, I go and grab Chrome and I never go back.
I like my browser of choice is Firefox. I have this thing against Chrome. I don't like it.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I have all the browsers on my computer. I just don't use them.
I use Internet Explorer for basic web browsing, like where it doesn't need to be anything fancy. But like when I do things on the website, I function strictly in Firefox because one, I don't have the glitching, I don't have the errors, and then I can actually manipulate things on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, for instance, even simple codings in WordPress, when putting them in a post, Internet Explorer botches it every time. So I have to use Firefox. I don't know if it does that in Internet Explorer 10 just because I gave up on them. I just, like I said, I use the one because it's all up to date, whereas Internet Explorer is still behind the times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found this kind of disturbing. And this was like the last note I had on the thing while I was doing the script. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right.
And it doesn't make any damn sense to me, but, yeah, they got some Inori Aizawa some Microsoft Singapore introduced official mascot, and then they're going to use it for Internet Explorer 11. All right. It's strange. Jumping on the DC bandwagon that we always go into.
Yeah.
They're currently, and I have multiple things in the news. It'll be in the show notes on the web post. Relating to possible Wonder Woman castings, or that's what more than likely it's going to be, but they're also saying it could be Kara Zor-El, but I think it'll be Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I mean, I just, the other thing I did get to see, I saw Thor 2 on Tuesday, which I did enjoy. I can get behind her.
They have two different women that they're saying are being screen tested for some part in the film that more than likely will be.
Olga Kurylenko? No. No.
Yeah, I looked at her and she doesn't even fit the look or the... I don't think she'd do justice to the persona, whereas the chick from Thor, I think, would.
Right. I agree with that. So, I don't agree with this Nightwing rumor. People are just looking for stuff all over the place, man.
Well, it's like the Lex Luthor thing all over again.
Yeah.
Where people are like, oh, Lex Luthor. Oh, Commissioner Gordon. You know, so I think that's what this latest one. I don't have a doubt in my mind that they're probably going to have Wonder Woman pop up at some point in the film. Even if it's kind of a nonchalant, you know, here we are type thing. Probably by the end or an after credit scene if they're going to do something.
I don't think they're going to do the stinger. Unless they start doing it, that really hasn't been a Warner Brothers thing.
They might do it to end the film, though, to kind of introduce into Justice League if they're going to go that route.
It just seems like a weird thing for them to start doing. I mean, a cameo or just some girl named Diana, that's fine, but I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But the thing about Nightwing, I'm on the fence about that. I mean, if it's an older Batman, I could kind of see having Nightwing and not having Robin or something, but... Again, I'm not quite sure what to take of that.
Nightwing doesn't do anything for me, and I think it's the fact that he doesn't have a cape.
See, that doesn't matter to me about the not having a cape thing.
I just think capes are so cool.
Oh, I'll agree with you. I prefer that they went the Nightwing route than have a Robin.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, well, I don't even know about that. I mean, I like Tim Drake as Robin.
They could have him as Red Robin.
See, I didn't like the Dick Grayson Robin that became Nightwing. Like, I like Dick Grayson as Nightwing, but I've liked the other Robins that came. Like, I like Tim Drake as Robin.
Yeah, I think Tim Drake fits the Robin persona better than the other two did, whereas Jason Todd fits Red Hood perfectly, and Dick Grayson fits the Nightwing persona perfectly.
But you know, you had to go through Dick Grayson's Robin to get to Nightwing. But the character has just never resonated with me because I just don't think for some reason, I just think his character design is very bland. I don't, cause his suit, the look of his suit and everything is just so simple. And I know it's going to get me some ire from some people here, but.
Well, it's supposed to be based on the Flying Grayson's costume from the Haley Circus.
Well, it's fine, but it's still one of the most bland superhero costumes in existence.
I could see it to some degree.
So, I mean, that's like, you know, you've got, because there's nothing really to it. It's two colors versus, you know, even Batman. Like, even here in this picture, like, you look at, for the, you know, the IGN article, for the Nightwing Wonder Woman rumor. Like, they show Batman and Nightwing right next to each other. Batman looks way more menacing than Nightwing does.
Oh, yeah. He always does, though.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just the way the two characters look, and I just think he I've always felt like the Nightwing character has just a too simplistic of a look for me. But that's just me. I don't have like a problem with like how the character acts or anything. It just comes down to the way that he looks, or like the character design for Nightwing is what bothers me. So, not the character itself. Because I like.
I capes. Can see that. Some people will argue. When I say some people, I think you'll infer who I'm talking about. About an Incredibles joke with the capes.
No capes. Yeah. No. I trust me. The entire time I was saying I like capes. Whenever I say I like capes, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is when they go no capes.
That's what I was thinking, but.
But no, there's might talk about Arkham Origins later if we don't run out of time, but it was actually kind of interesting. So I was kind of thinking, like, for some reason I was thinking the other day, why do some superheroes wear capes and other ones don't? And you know, Batman has always had a cape and it's always been very iconic, but other than like gliding and stuff, I never understood like kind of like what the functionality of it was. And then like there was a moment in Arkham Blackgate with Deadshot.
Yeah.
He actually says something about Batman's cape, and I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But I don't really want to give it away here what it is, but maybe I'll tell you off the air, but
yeah, that sounds good.
But
because I don't care. I'll deal with spoilers.
Well, it's not really a spoiler, I guess, because it's something. I'll just tell you. It's you know, you walk out into a courtyard and Deadshot has the jump on you and he starts shooting, and of course while he's trying to snipe you, he's doing a monologue and he starts saying something like, I know why you wear a cape, it's to obscure your body. Unfortunately, I know exactly where your body is underneath the cape.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But I don't think I've ever seen anything that's actually come out and said that that's why he wears the cape. Beyond just the theatrics of a cape.
Yeah, there's a lot of theatrics, and then he uses it for gliding.
Yeah.
But it's 90% theatrics.
Right. So, and then it's like 90% theatrics, 5% gliding, and then 5% is just to conceal his body or make himself look bigger, but which I guess could be related back to theatrics.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I totally agree with that. But I just, like I said, I'd never heard it put that way before. It was just always you know, another function of the cape that wasn't there before. So
yeah, so there's one more piece of DC news before we go into listener feedback and then the discussion of Arkham.
Okay.
Have you seen the Arrow Star trying to put things out there to make it look like he's possibly being courted for a Justice League film?
There's no reason he couldn't be. I mean,
I think they should incorporate, because then that would give Arrow more resonance with people.
It give Arrow more resonance, and like I said on a past episode, there's a character that shows up in season one of Arrow that could have immediately tied that entire thing into Christopher Nolan's Batman. And would have
they failed.
Know, yeah, they failed miserably. So
I think they want to tie it into like the movie verse continuity. It's just that Warner Brothers won't let them.
Yet.
It's probably because they've had these little plans in motion and they don't want them screwing it up. They want them to get the trigger pulled when they want them to. Which makes sense. Like with them introducing Black Canary, the Flash, these other, you know, the Ferris aircraft, you know, hinting at Hal Jordan. And
well, but the interesting thing that I think Marvel is doing right as far as their TV shows go is Marvel doesn't seem like they would recast a character just to have them show up on the small screen. I feel like Warner Brothers if they do the Flash spinoff, which I'm kind of hoping that they do, even though I haven't seen the Flash episode, I do like the character of Flash. I feel like if they were to... if they had the Flash TV series and then you had Flash on the silver screen as a different actor, I think that would confuse people. I think the DC stuff... I think the live action stuff could get really, for DC, could get really confusing really fast. Whereas Marvel seems to be all about avoiding confusion.
Yeah, I can kind of see that happening too, but I think it's also Warner Brothers. There's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Well, so, yeah, but really...
And I think that they won't do what's necessary, which is to avoid confusion. They can, you know, basically do what they did with Nick Fury and, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. and
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just saying DC seems more likely to, you know, WB has their Flash spinoff, and DC seems more likely to just have a brand new Flash for the silver screen and still have this Flash TV show, but not have them be the same actor.
Yeah, I hope that that doesn't happen.
And so do I. So.
But I also like the fact that in that show, and I haven't seen the recent episode, I know they haven't introduced Barry Allen Flash yet. I know they've introduced Black Canary, but they've introduced the League of Assassins.
Yeah.
Which almost seems like a cop-out because it's a Batman-related thing. I mean, I know that the other ones can still fight them too, but that's still a Batman cop-out, but because they can't put Batman on television...
Yeah,
they're using a lot of Batman's mythos and villains, and I know that they wanted to insinuate Bloodhaven at one point to try and incorporate Nightwing. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting that, you know, they're fighting Ra's al Ghul's.
You know, what's funny is Batman may be out for the small screen, but Nightwing is a character I can see coming to the small screen before the silver screen.
I could get behind that. I honestly think that that would work better than having a Commissioner Gordon TV show.
Yeah, I think anything would work better than that.
I
still don't
yeah.
understand how that works.
I don't either.
I mean, that's like Catwoman without Batman.
Yeah.
We all saw how that worked out.
Yeah, well, it's like Birds of Prey.
Oh, ouch.
How do you function without Batman? Well, we had an introduction in the first 5 minutes. I think we'll go to listener feedback before this goes down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
That's unrecoverable. All right. So, I guess we'll start with previous question for last week of who is your favorite fictional character? And I basically had us put it can be comics, film, TV, cartoon, whatever.
All right. I don't really know who mine is. I didn't really give this a whole lot of thought because, like I said, I've been way too busy. I mean, Batman ranks high up there. I do like the character of Gambit from X-Men. Wolverine is a favorite. I do like Sherlock Holmes. I mean, there's a lot of characters that I like. I don't know if I could actually pick one. I don't know. What's yours?
I have a plethora.
So you're in the same boat.
To kind of narrow it down a little bit. Of course, from comics and animation and film, I love the Batman character. That's... I would say that's within my top three. It kind of varies week to week of which one's in my top three.
Right.
One of the other ones I find, I mean, I like Wolverine, I like Spider-Man, but those are kind of lower tier for me. I think Iron Man ranks up there for me in my top three. Mostly because of the film verse. I'm not too into the comics, but I like Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal. And then, of course, I have a lot of likes as far as shows go and fictional characters, but I have this love for Beast Wars Megatron.
Okay.
Because I can simulate the voice. So that's that, and I grew up on that show, so I like that character a lot. So it kind of rotates for me depending on the week. Usually it's between Megatron and Batman. So anytime I get to play as either one in a game, it's always a win for me.
Okay.
So.
Looks like Ryan Hannity, his favorite fictional character is RoboCop. Says a cop that is a robot, built-in gun, and every way a badass. I remember back when RoboCop was an actual thing, and it was like they had those comics, RoboCop versus Terminator.
I think I remember that.
I never read any of them, but I was. If anyone's read any of those, what were they like? I can't even remember. I'm gonna go try and find them. But I just remember like that was the debate, like what was cooler, RoboCop or Terminator. But no, I'm a fan of RoboCop. I'm actually excited for the new movie.
As am I.
So, go.
All right. Dragono says, my all-time favorite character, is Lockheed and Shadowcat from X-Men. That partnership was something I could always identify with. I myself have no idea who they are.
Oh, well, you know who Shadowcat is, don't you?
No.
Oh, that's the chick that can phase through solid objects.
Isn't that Kitty Pryde?
Yes. Same person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Shadowcat.
Just older.
Well, Kitty Pryde is her actual name, or Catherine Pryde, Kitty Pryde.
Ah, okay.
And Shadowcat is her code name.
Okay. Then I do know who one is.
Lockheed is the purple dragon that she was sometimes seen with. Who can actually go from like being this little purple dragon to this giant, big, giant, full-sized dragon. But I haven't actually seen anything where they're... I have not read a comic where they're actually both together. I have, like... I've seen them together, like, on trading cards and stuff like that. And I've seen the character of Lockheed in X-Men books, but I've never seen them, like, working together. I know that they were a partnership. So... Jedi Disaster... says that his favorite fictional group is the Jedi. And he says of all the Jedi, Darth Maul is his favorite, although Darth Maul is not a Jedi. He's a Sith. And I don't want to butcher this name, but Kit Fisto?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but I haven't read any of the books.
I think he's a Jedi of some kind. The name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure who it is.
See, I have to admit, I love Star Wars, but I have not read any of the Expanded Universe books or anything like that. I'm primarily just a movie guy, and like the Clone Wars, I watched all of that. And I've played just a few of the games, mainly Shadows of the Empire, which I actually did enjoy on the N64, and more recently, the Force Unleashed games, which... Well, they had their flaws, and they could have been a little better executed with different play mechanics. They were still pretty fun.
Yep. Superfilm Fan 98 says his favorite fiction group. He's not sure about them. Maybe the Warriors from the Warriors.
Who is that?
I don't have a clue. I've never even heard of it. So, maybe a little clarification.
Sorry, Super Film Fan.
Yeah, sorry.
No, the next one.
For lone character, he has to go with Doc Brown, which, yes, I agree. He's a very iconic character.
Marty!
Damn! Where is that kid?
All right. Epicurious of Sidium. You changed your name, sir. Because I believe that was Plato's Lament.
I'm pretty sure it is based on the icon.
Okay, I was going to say. But if it's not Plato's Lament and it's actually a brand new person, because we have done that before.
Yes, I've done that.
We apologize. my favorite fictional group is easily X-Men. one of the most dynamic teams of all time. They are so much more interesting to me than something like the Justice League, which are kind of dry and boring, which, as when it comes to comics, I will agree with you, sir. But when it comes to, like, the animated universe, the X-Men stuff is not as good as the Justice League stuff.
I couldn't have said it any better myself for that.
But then again, I have that, like, I love Marvel Comics. I can't, for some reason, DC Comics just don't resonate with me, like, at all. Like, it just, that's like a conversation for a complete other time. Like, I just feel like DC Comics are so bland to me. I don't know what it is, but
I can kind of agree to some extent. But again, the X-Men, I could see where I'm not a big Marvel Comics fan. I like the films and I like some of the animation, but, I can see where the X-Men comics would be more interesting. The Justice League one, I tried getting into that. I dropped it very quickly. I prefer the Detective Comics. Anything pertaining to the main storylines of Batman, whether it be Batman Beyond or Detective Comics or the Batman line itself, the rest of them I kind of shy away from because they're not... It's kind of all over the place, and I tried collecting a lot of random ones of Batman-related stuff or anything he's in, and there's a lot of lackluster, in my opinion. Right. But the Justice League cartoon, that's hands down infinitely better than the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Bourne standing up says his favorite fictional character has and always will be Homer Simpson. You can mark the Simpsons down as his favorite group.
I am not a Simpsons fan. I think I've mentioned that before on the show. Because my parents didn't want me to watch it when I was a kid, so I have absolutely no nostalgia for it, and for some reason I can't stand watching it. Even if I see an episode on TV, I just change the channel.
I can watch it. It doesn't bother me. I grew up watching it. We used to watch it on Sundays, my dad and I, and then I really like the Halloween specials. But I don't go out of my way to watch it anymore. But because for the most part, it's not really that relevant. there's not a lot of current events kind of stuff. They're kind of a couple weeks behind compared to like South Park or Family Guy.
Right.
Where it seems like they kind of fast track those and it just is instantly out there.
Well, South Park has turned around in a week.
Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, that's kind of unheard of in today's world. That's why they're so up to date with all the.
But that's also to their detriment too, because those shows don't age very well.
No, whereas The Simpsons, you could kind of not. You can watch reruns and it doesn't matter. But yeah, I like it, but it's not something I'd go out of my way to watch.
All right. Walking Dread says his favorite fictional character is, of course, Judge Dredd. Not the horrible 90s version, the comic version where he is badass.
Kind of like the Carl Urban movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, Walking Dredd, I have not read any of the comics. So when we say it was... was the most recent Judge Dredd movie? Was that badass like the comics? Or was that horrible like the 90s version? Because I think the new one was actually really good.
I'm glad they're doing a second film.
Are they finally doing another one?
I think so. I think there was talks of them doing a second film.
I thought Carl Urban was just trying to get it to be direct-to-video. Either way, it's a second movie.
Yeah.
So,
I'd be fine with that. King of Kong says his favorite character has and always will be Donkey Kong. There seems to be a trend with the names.
Yeah, I can see that.
From its early start till now, I just love that character so much. He is who got me into video games.
You got a thing for throwing barrels?
Yeah. throwing barrels and beating up plumbers.
Glad you like the car talk. He's probably the only one still listening after the opening of this podcast.
Everybody else probably fast forwarded.
Freddie Savage says, my favorite fictional character, you may have heard of him, Bat to the ever-loving man, Batman, enough said. Okay. I guess we won't add any more on to that.
No.
Go.
Brad Kellogg says, on a similar note, my favorite fictional character would have to be Cartman from South Park. Few characters in any medium are as evil and hilarious as him.
I will agree with that. I think Cartman is hilarious.
I like how whiny he gets.
Yeah.
And then he starts like putting people down and he goes, nah, 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 nah. Yeah.
I didn't used to watch South Park for the longest time. And then since like 2009, I've actually been watching all the new episodes. I haven't gone back to watch any like the early stuff or anything like that. But since 2009, I've been watching it pretty consistently when it's been on. And it's just, I feel like I've been missing out because it's actually pretty fun. Their take on the whole BP oil spill was great.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's like a 4-part thing and it has to do with Cthulhu. And just, oh, it's great. It's great.
Have you seen the South Park movie?
I have.
Do you like it?
As an extended South Park episode, sure. I mean, I can't. Why did this show up in your animated list?
I can't say for sure 100% if it did show up. But if it did, it showed up with Happy Praise, I guess.
Oh.
From the Peanut Gallery. So I'm not saying what episode that's showing up in. I guess you'll just have to listen and find out. But that's why I asked if you liked South Park.
I mean, so. I like I said, I like it just as an extended episode. I don't think it's like a really great. It's weird. I don't think it's a really great movie. I just think it's like a really good extended episode.
I mean, so it's kind of like it was funny. So it's kind of like the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, or like Batman versus Superman. moving on.
Dan Clark. So I was gonna say for those that like Simpsons, I'm sorry. The Simpsons movie. That's all I'm saying of that. I could tease all day long, but you'll have to listen to the episode. So, go ahead.
Dan Clark finishes this up with, I honestly never thought about who is my favorite fictional character, but thinking about it, I would say Captain America. He is kind of like Superman in the way that he can easily be cheesy in the wrong hands, but in the right hands, there can be some amazing stories. I can see that. Because I do see kind of goes back and forth. Captain America is kind of the Superman of the Avengers.
Even though they can't fly.
But they're both boys. I'm saying like in their moral compass.
Oh, yeah.
Their sense of right and wrong, their leadership, the all-American boy attitude. They're similar characters. And by the way, the 9-minute Captain America preview that is on the front of Thor 2 in 3D and in IMAX. Awesome. So excited for that movie. So excited.
Yeah, Captain America 2 looks like it'll be pretty good.
So,
we left one out, though. Connor Murphy says, I don't know why, but when I see fictional group, the first thought that comes to my head is the NWO from the old WCW days.
And he doesn't know if that counts, and neither do I.
I don't either. I think that it is fictional group, being that it's on TV and it's kind of reality TV.
I always equated wrestling as like the male version of a soap opera.
I can see that. That makes sense.
And I'm not saying that to like knock it, because I watched it for like, I watched it regularly for like 2 years. And I watched it from the point where they actually did like the, they did this weird draft thing and they split up who was going to be on like Monday nights and who was going to be on Thursday nights.
Huh.
And I was like, and I'm done. Because I didn't want to watch, I didn't want to have to watch one show for one group of people, one show for the other group of people. I just like that the stories flowed from one show to the next. And I was done at that point. But I know I did a couple, I think I did a couple pay-per-view WrestleManias and Royal Rumbles and stuff like that in the time that I spent watching it. I had a lot of fun with it. Kind of made events out of it, but even then I always just kind of saw it as like the male version of a soap opera. So
I could definitely see that. So do we want to do a brief Batman Arkham Origins?
If you want to ask me about Arkham Origins, I can try and answer some questions for you. Although I have not, I've played more Blackgate this past week than I did actually Origins.
Now, what's the difference between the two? For those that don't know.
Okay. Arkham Origins is it's full on 3D. It's just like the games you remember from Asylum and City. It has more in common with City than it does with Asylum. But it's another Arkham game. Blackgate for me is where it gets interesting, because it's on the handheld, it's on the 3DS, and it's on the Vita. It's 2.5D, which means that it's a side scroller, and you can move into the background, you can move to the foreground. It's not like I'm not saying like it's 3D, like, you know, like with the 3D glasses or stuff like that. I'm just saying like you can move into the scenery or you know, towards the screen, but it's always from the side. You see everything from the side. As far as the way that the story is told in Blackgate versus like City or Origins, it's has more in common with Arkham Asylum. If you took the story of Arkham Asylum and made it a 2D game instead of the 3D game, that's kind of what Blackgate is. Because Asylum was, the way it was laid out and the traversal and stuff was part of like a subgenre of games called like Metroidvanias, which is, for people that don't know, is a cross between Metroid and the Castlevania games from like the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo, where they were 2.5D game, where they were 2D games. The character moved from left to right and you went exploring these massive areas. Arkham Asylum was essentially that type of game, but in a 3D environment. And Blackgate brings that home by putting it back in the manner that it was, you know, the best at, which was as a side scroller. I'm enjoying Blackgate a lot. It took me a little bit to get into it. But I am enjoying it. I'm really close to finishing it. Like I'm probably like right at the end of the game, and I stopped because I had to go to sleep because it was like 4 a.m. or something like that.
Nice.
But I feel like, and I think it comes down to the buttons on the Vita. And I mentioned this on Off the Cuff. The controls for Origins don't feel as tight as they did in Asylum or City. It's definitely the same kind of combat, but for some reason I feel like there's a little more button lag. And I've said that could also be user error, like on my part too. But I don't seem to have an issue with combat on the Vita. And I feel like that's because on the Vita, the buttons aren't like squishy. They actually click, so you know when you're pushing the button. And I say that because like countering is a big thing in the Arkham games. And it's like I know when I've countered because I hear it click. I feel it click under my fingers rather than tapping a button and maybe it registered, maybe it didn't register.
Okay.
So, but like I said, I don't remember having an issue with combat in Arkham City, so there may be like some input lag or something like that that was never there before, but it is now. I do know that Arkham Origins has been supposedly been plagued by bugs, like game-ending bugs and stuff like that. I've been playing on the PS3, and I haven't experienced any of that stuff. So that's lucky, I guess. The neat thing that I found out that I sent you the picture of is that when you have Blackgate on the Vita and you have Origins on the PS3, you get the Beyond or Beware the Batman suit in Blackgate. Which was kind of
which neat. I think is awesome.
And here's the other thing I really enjoy about Blackgate. In the Arkham games, you've always been able to get skins, like to make your character like a different version of Batman other than just the one in Arkham.
Yeah.
In the first Batman or the first Asylum, you got like an armored suit that you could use in the challenge maps. And that armored suit was awesome, but you couldn't use that in the regular game. And in City, they came out with different, more varied skins for you to have. But yeah, you could use them in the game, but you couldn't use them until after you finished the game.
You can use them in Game Plus.
Well, yeah, but you had to finish the game first.
Yeah.
And that seems to be back in Origins. Like, there's more skins that you can get, but you can only use them in like New Game Plus or the challenge modes. You have to finish the game before you can put on the suits. However, and this baffles me because it's a handheld, Blackgate, one of the collectibles when you're traversing through the environments and you're finding these hidden things and solving cases and stuff like that, some of the things you find are pieces to other Batman suits. Like there's
Batman. So it's like Mega Man.
Yeah, so there's like Batman 100. You have to get, there's five pieces to each one. There's boots, there's gloves, there's the belt, there's the chest piece, and then there's the cowl. And you have to find those five pieces before you can put that suit on. So there's like Batman 100, there's the New 52 Batman, and there's a few other ones. Now, you can put those suits on at any time that you're playing the game. So like I was able to run around the other day in the Beware the Batman costume. Because that's automatically given to you for having both versions of the game. As far as I know, unlike the full-scale console versions of Arkham, it's not just a reskin. These suits actually give you buffs for wearing them. In the case of the Beware the Batman suit, it was like minus 20% damage from guns.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. So it's like, not only can you use the skins in gameplay, they're actually part of the game, and they do special things for you, which is something the console versions don't do. And I'm like, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? And I don't have an answer. I don't know why. I don't know why it's not like that.
I would think that would be a better selling point.
I don't know. Whatever. And that's one of the things that's always kind of bothered me. Not because I think that the character design for the Batman or for Batman in the Arkham games is bad. It's just some of those skins are really cool. And it's like, I don't, for someone like me, I play those games once and I'm kind of done with them. Sometimes if I'm really compelled, I will go back through and try and like do a couple things here and there. But like, I'm the guy that would like to have access to those skins, like in my first playthrough.
Oh, I would too.
Just so I see what they look
played
like.
As the animated Batman and Batman Beyond in the year one and Batman Inc. and all the different ones in Arkham City. So, I mean, I'd love to be able to use those in Arkham Origins.
So, but, no, it's Blackgate's a lot of fun. So if you have a Vita or 3DS, I highly recommend it. I did see a lot of people commenting in on the off-the-cuff thread when we had our conversation about Arkham Origins that a lot of people aren't enjoying the game as much as we were. But then again, these people also enjoyed Arkham City, which we did not, over at Off the Cuff. So,
like myself, I enjoy Arkham City more than I did Arkham Asylum. I won't disagree that Arkham Asylum had a more cohesive story than Arkham City. That I can't argue. Because that's the most evident problem with Arkham City is it's all over. But I like the open world. I like the upgrades. I like the fact you can climb on ledges and everything. A lot of the new tools and the fact that you come back to the game and all the villains are back.
Yeah. I think, given the fact that you like City, I think you'll like Origins. I stand by what I said about Origins on Off the Cuff, which is I think it's the, of the three, I think it's the best one at making you feel like Batman. Asylum still has, I still have a soft spot for Asylum because I like games like Asylum. I like the focused storytelling, and I feel like Asylum was so tight that that's the type of game that I really respond to. It's the one where it's like, you need to go here now you need to go here, and it's like, just everything was, the pacing was so deliberate in that game. You got to experience everything. You didn't run the risk of missing something because it wasn't in your way. And I know I've brought that up before about the Riddler in Arkham City. Like, I didn't do any of the Riddler challenges because the story did not put Riddler in my path. So I never experienced the Riddler stuff in Arkham City. Unlike, you know, they put the Riddler in your path in Arkham Asylum. They also put the Riddler in your path in Arkham Origins. So
nice.
More power to them. Now, for people that don't listen to Off the Cuff, but listen to this and are playing or haven't played Arkham Origins yet, the voice work, I am totally okay with. The guy they've got to play Batman, I think, and we said this on Off the Cuff, we all love Kevin Conroy as Batman, but I've never thought, beyond like fan service, I've never thought that Kevin Conroy's voice fit the Batman in Arkham Asylum. There was something about the character design for that Batman, and given the character design of the Batmans that Kevin Conroy voices typically, they just, in my mind, they never meshed. Whereas Hamill's Joker, I thought, Hamill's Joker just transcends all Jokers.
Hamill's portrayal of Joker, there's no other alternative. He is the definitive. I've heard some of the vocals, and I haven't played the game yet, so I don't know all of the things that you guys are aware of. But I would have preferred that they kept Kevin Conroy for the first game, being that he can change his voice to fit different parts of the age limits of Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but this one, it feels more like the Batman that's in this game, like the from the voice acting wise, I know how I want to say this, and it might not be the best way to say this. He is what you probably wanted Christian Bale's Batman to be. He doesn't have the, it's like, imagine Christian Bale doing Batman without the gravelly voice.
Okay.
And that's this Batman. That's like Christian Bale, like, even though when he was doing the gravelly voice, like, or not doing like the gravelly voice, when you could actually understand him, he kind of fit the armored Batman. and this guy fits the armored Batman. Like, and like Danner said on Off the Cuff, there's moments where you see the Christian Bale Batman, except he doesn't start chewing rocks. It's a very good voice for this particular Batman. And that's not, I'm not taking anything away from Kevin Conroy in his portrayal of Batman in Arkham Asylum and in City. It's just, I never felt like it fit because that's not, I never felt like that was the Batman that he was. Now the guy that they got to do the Joker in Arkham City or Arkham Origins, I'm sorry. Props to him, because the first time I saw the Joker, I was honestly thinking they may have just pulled one over on everybody and got Mark Hamill to do it again. It's not Mark Hamill, because they say it's not Mark Hamill. But if they didn't tell you that, it would be kind of hard to know that it's not him. But, you know, it's obviously it's not him. I'm not saying this guy is like as good as he was or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of hard to tell that it's not Hamill.
It's easily able to mistake him.
Yes, very. It's almost one of those things where you kind of just want to put blinders on and make yourself believe that it is Hamill. And you wouldn't be in the wrong for doing so. But I'm enjoying both. I'm definitely enjoying Origins more than City, because I feel like it just does a better all around job of making you feel like Batman. So, but that's about all I've
got. I'm looking forward to playing it. That's all I know.
So, I'm hoping if you like City more than Arkham, you'll like Origins.
That's good to know.
So, but that's about all I've got for tonight.
All right, well, I think that about rounds it up then. Question wise, and I'd kind of come up with this before the episode, but it actually kind of fits with some of the news and some of the talk of TV shows. If you had the option of writing a new TV show, either original or based on something already out there, what would it be and how would you go about it?
Okay.
What's that?
No, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, and just for a quick follow-up, if anybody has played Arkham Origins, what are your thoughts of it or the Arkham trilogy so far? Because we know they're doing another Arkham game after Arkham City with Kevin Conroy and Justice League and Rocksteady, so.
See how that one goes.
Yeah. Take those questions.
How do they answer those questions, Steve?
Well, there's many ways to do so. They can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Can visit the episode post at geekcastradio.com. You can follow us by searching Geekcast Radio Network on Facebook. You can contact us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, #AlteredGeek. My Twitter handle is at SCP21, and yours is?
At BoothNinja81.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Bye.